Now, in the last edition of Late Night Live, you may have heard Philip, Mr. Adams, talking to social psychologist Karen Douglas about what draws people into conspiracy theories. It turns out pandemic anxiety is fertile ground for conspiracy. How did it start? Who started it? New theories are doing the rounds. That, of course, in many cases, link with very old ones. One of the oldest conspiracy theories was created at a time of incredible global turbulence as well, the late 18th century, the American War of Independence. That was on one side of the Atlantic, the French Revolution on the other. And out of that period came the Illuminati. Ah, yes, recognition, you know the word. Conspiracies around who, what they are, well, they remain today. But what gave this particular conspiracy theory so much longevity to explain? I am very pleased to welcome Dr. Lindsay Porter, cultural historian, author of Who Are the Illuminati? Exploring the Myth of the Secret Society, Assassination, a Political History, and Popular Rumour in Revolutionary Paris. She joins us from the Netherlands. Lindsay, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks very much.
We all know the word. I'm not sure we know where it comes from, and conspiracies around the Illuminati and the influence they may be having on events are pervasive, and I hate to think of the emails we're going to get after this conversation, but never mind, we'll plough on. When was this secret society, the Illuminati, when was it formed?
Well, this is a terrifically interesting question because there was an actual group called the Illuminati. They were formed in 1776, as it happens. I'm not a huge believer in coincidences, so I'll just say, as it happens, this was 1776, not in the nascent United States, but in Bavaria, in southern Germany. And it was formed by a law professor at the University of Ingolstadt. His name was Adam Weishaupt. And he really formed the group. He based it on the same sort of hierarchical structure as the Freemasons. And so the idea would be that you would sort of, you know, join on the bottom rung through a series of kind of rituals and initiation ceremonies. You would sort of move upward, and in the moving upward, you would gain more knowledge and enlightenment, you know, hence the idea, the name Illuminati. Now, it's worth pointing out that Weishaupt was not alone in creating this kind of society. The late 18th century, you mentioned, it was a time of real kind of global turmoil, but it was also one that was very much kind of radical ideas in the air. And the writers who are known in France as the philosophes, you know, Voltaire and Rousseau, were really questioning the relationship between man and state, between man and God, between church and state. And there were a lot of really very radical ideas circulating. So these were being discussed either in the open, in places like coffee houses. There might have been philosophical societies that you could join so you could discuss these ideas. Mm. And then there were the more secret societies. There were things like Freemasonry. And Weishaupt modeled the Illuminati on Freemasonry.
Why do they have to be secret? I mean, that surely is the beginning of all their problems.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, and again, there are different takes on this. I mean, my take is always like the sort of rational and calm one. And the idea being that certainly there were books that were available in France that were not available in Bavaria. And so, and writers, therefore, like Voltaire, like Rousseau, that you could acquire in other parts of Europe, you couldn't, where Weishaupt was. And so one facet, if you like, of having a secret society meant that you could read banned literature. Now, you know, the whole notion of banned literature is immediately sort of salacious and suspect. Mm. But in retrospect, when we think of the kind of books that they might be looking at, you know, no one is going to forbid, you know, the reading of Voltaire or of Rousseau. But so that is one aspect of it, if you like. The other aspect of it is, and this isn't, you know, this isn't a terribly kind of intellectual take on it, but, you know, secrecy and hierarchy, it's great fun. You know, there's something about, oh, we're an in-group and you're not in our group, you know? And I have to say that some of the, I have read descriptions of Weishaupt's incredibly detailed, you know, sort of instructions and hierarchies for the Illuminati, and they all took kind of pseudonyms. Weishaupt described him, his name was Spartacus. It felt very kind of theatrical and almost Boy Scoutish.
That's, you know, of the moment, though, isn't it? I mean, they were not alone in doing this kind of thing. That's
not at all. Yeah, they were very much of the moment. And I think, as I said, if you look at social groups that are gathering together of like-minded people to share ideas, and you go from a trajectory of meeting in a coffee house to meeting in secret with kind of, you know, secret handshakes and symbols and false names, they are all a way of creating a community. And whether you choose to do it behind closed doors or out in the open, you know, you are seeking out like-minded people.
So what did this community seek? What did it want to do? What was its objective?
Well, this is actually what's very, very interesting. Again, taking a clear-eyed view of this, because the whole history of the Illuminati becomes so more interesting that in some respects it's much more interesting than Weishaupt's small, short-lived organization. Mm. One proposal is that the reason why he formed his own kind of group is because he couldn't join the Freemasons. So it's like, well, you know, if I can't join that club, I'll, you know, I don't care, I'll make my own club, you know.
That's a Monty Python sketch.
It is a Monty Python sketch. But I will tell you, like, in a more serious thing, actually, which does then lead us nicely to the French Revolution, from a more serious perspective, is that Weishaupt did not have a lot of connections. And in the 18th century, prior to the French Revolution, you really needed connections to get anywhere. And so without the patronage of someone more important, you're not really going to move up in society. So he was a law professor, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't really have any particular standing, and he wasn't going to get promotion at university. And when you think that the church really ruled everything, if you can't get your, you know, foot on the ladder and impress powerful people, you're not really going to get anywhere in life. So one argument was he'd sort of set up his own secret society, if you like, to, you know, for his own promotion.
And with some success. I mean, here's a group now of 2,500-ish people like Goethe, attracted to it. It must be offering something of some intellectual intensity, and setting itself up as a sort of an oppositional movement to Jesuism. It's an interesting position.
It is a very interesting position, and I think, if you like, this is the point at which we really find the seeds that will lead to, you know, the great overarching world conspiracy that is the Illuminati. Mm. One is the notion of secrecy, and the other is the notion of knowledge. And when you mention Goethe being, you know, part of it, he is really part of the 18th century tradition of knowledge exchange, of a kind of sociable community who are sharing ideas and books. And so if you take away all of the trappings of, you know, arcane mystery and initiation, at its core, you could see the group of the Illuminati as that. Where its history, if you like, goes completely off beam is that in 1788, the Illuminati and all secret societies in Bavaria are outlawed. And the reason being is because they are discussing Enlightenment ideas. And these are all ideas that shake the status quo. And as you said, if there are over 2,000 people who are involved, you know, this is potentially really quite a powerful kind of groundswell of cultural change. When you see then in 1789 what happens in France, people are questioning, well, where on earth did this come from, you know? And this is where then the myth of the Illuminati really takes root. But you're really, if you like, it's simultaneously kind of creating a perfect storm and kind of reaping it, if you like, you know?
But about 10 years or so after the disbanding of the Illuminati, there are books being written, the theories begin to emerge, and a prevalent theory is that this group, that the Illuminati were not disbanded, they'd simply gone more underground, they'd become increasingly secretive.
Exactly. And that really, again, comes from, it's not as though there's been a decade of no one's really been thinking about conspiracy theories or secret plots. I mean, the French Revolution was just the shockwaves that spread across Europe, you know, were cataclysmic. And the revolution itself, if you like, on both sides, both those who supported and were architects of the revolution, and then those who were pro-monarchy and anti-revolution, both sides had a real rhetoric of plots and conspiracies. You know, so if you like, the French Revolution was born and cultivated through this atmosphere of conspiracy. Every speeches and newspaper reports and pamphlets and rumors are all referring to the notion of a plot. And you either get royalists who are saying, well, it was all the result of a plot, clearly, or the Republican, the French Republican government itself is constantly kind of looking over its shoulder, thinking, all right, who is out to undermine us? Where are the enemies? You know? And so there has been this long, you know, a decade worth, if you like, of people trying to work out, so who is it? Who is the enemy? Who is the other? And the other is often, depending on what side of the political divide you are, the other might be the philosoph, because it's these Enlightenment ideas, you know, these radical and dangerous ideas of democracy and equality and brotherhood, you know, that has completely overturned, you know, the state as we know it. Or you have then the Republican government who's saying, all right, well, you know, we are going to be undermined by, you know, secret monarchists. You know, so as I said, there's been just a decade of, you know, really political paranoia. The person that we have to thank, if you like, for the whole Illuminati myth is, or for reigniting it, if you like, is the former Jesuit, the Abbé Barrowel. And he wrote in 1798 an exhaustive, it ended up being 12-volume book called the Memoirs of the History of Jacobinism. And the Jacobins, obviously, were the radical French revolutionaries. In this, and it's a very repetitive, conspiratorial, very emotional kind of text.
They're never easy to read.
They are not easy to read. And it's kind of like, well, you know, it's like you get the gist very quickly. You know? And then it's kind of like, oh, here we are, the 11th volume. Exactly. But Barrowel, in amongst, pinpointing the usual culprits of the philosoph, of the Freemasons, he also identifies the Bavarian Illuminati. And what's interesting there, I think, and this is, if you like, every new iteration of the Illuminati myth refers to the past and adds an extra bit. And so what Barrowel does is, you know, he's not only referring to the secrecy and the arcane knowledge and the kind of hierarchies and rituals and these dangerous ideas, but they're also foreign. And that's something to sort of bear in mind the more we look at conspiracy theories, because the more the other takes on identities of, you know, all-knowing, you know, invisible and not one of us, you know. So that's Barrowell.
The other is the greatly recognisable concept in all of this. And sadly, Lindsay, we do not have time to drag the Illuminati into our present day, where some are entirely confident that they are running world government. Perhaps that's for another time.
But now we've said, yes, exactly. Yes. We've given it away.
safe to say that the legend endures. Thank you for such a clear explanation of those intriguing and yet, given that they involve no reptilian aliens, almost mundane truths.
Oh, but do they? Absolutely.
Thank you so very much.
It's my pleasure.
Dr. Lindsay Porter, who's a cultural historian, author of Who Are the Illuminati? Exploring the Myth of the Secret Society.